Greatest Choice podcast, where we dive into the topics of singleness, fertility, motherhood, and choice. I'm your host, Katie B. Every episode, I'll deliver conversations with women in their fertile years who are grappling with what to do when life doesn't turn out as planned. You will also hear interviews with experts in the fields of fertility, personal development, choosing single motherhood, and more. Join us as we explore these topics and support each other along the way. Because what you decide to do with these years could be the single greatest choice you'll ever make, and you don't have to make it alone. Hey guys, it's just me this time. So this week I want to talk to you about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is coaching. I literally would not be the same person without the influence of several life coaches and all the tools that I've learned from them to kind of reshape my thinking and really rewrite the story of my life. So today I want to tell you a little bit about what coaching is if you're not familiar, and then some of my own experiences with receiving coaching, and then all about going through coach training during COVID and the types of coaching that I'm doing now. This isn't the typical episode, but I hope you'll stick around because there are parts of my story sprinkled throughout and some ideas that I think might be helpful to you on your own journey. I want to start with what coaching is, or really kind of what it's not. So coaching is different than therapy. It's not advice giving or consulting. With coaching, it's more of a collaborative relationship, and the goal is empowering the client to find her own answers. So it starts from this basic premise that every situation has possibilities and that people really do have the power of choice in their life. A coach's job is to create the container for the client so that she can start to explore ways of thinking that might not have been available to her before. It's as if the client has been walking around for years wearing pink tinted glasses, only she doesn't know that she has them on, so she just thinks the world is really pink. And a coach is someone that can hand her a pair of blue or yellow or green or purple shades. And the coach will be with her as she decides whether to try them out and then explores whether she likes what she sees when she wears them. It's different than therapy. For one thing, most therapists or counselors have policies against self-disclosure, whereas a coach might volunteer more information about her own life when it's relevant to the client's situation. So the relationship is different. Also, therapy focuses on mental health and emotional well-being, which may involve a lot of going back into past trauma in order to uncover old patterns of thinking and behavior. And in coaching, the focus is more on discovering what you currently think and choosing whether or not that thought is serving you. So, for example, if you're really struggling with self-worth and body image because you tend to overeat as a way of self-soothing, a therapist might help you look back at childhood messages you received about food and control and what it means to be a woman, and maybe even uncover some repressed trauma that you've been subconsciously trying to numb with your binge eating. Through understanding the deep-rooted causes of the unwanted pattern of behavior, a good therapist can help you process and release that old wound so that you can live differently in the future. A coach, on the other hand, will be more focused on the circumstances and especially the thoughts that are present just before the unwanted binge eating. So when you're going to the freezer for the ice cream, what thoughts were playing in your head? Are you telling yourself you deserve it? Or that you're already a fat slob, so it doesn't really matter what you put in your body? Or that you'll start a healthy plan on Monday, but for now you'd better just binge as much junk as possible before you deprive yourself? A coach can help you start to uncover your thoughts and decide if you like them. That's right, we get to decide. We think our thoughts just happen, but in reality, we choose what we think and believe. So if the thoughts you think over and over lead to behavior that isn't serving you, a coach can help you investigate new thoughts that might be available to you that could lead to different results. Another difference between coaching and therapy is training. So obviously therapists have a whole slew of degrees and certifications that coaches do not have. Coaching is currently an unregulated industry, and there's a wide variety of people who call themselves coaches. So it's always good to ask what type of training a coach has received. Personally, I feel like I came into the world of life coaching through like a random side door. I don't even remember when I first became aware of it as a thing, but I keep a record of all the books I read each year. And so based on my reading history, I'd say that somewhere around 2015 is when I started to get interested, which makes sense because 2013 and 2014 were pretty rough years for me. I ended an engagement that not only left me single again, but also left me kind of homeless. I had sold my cute little condo to move in with my then fiancé, and 3 weeks later, I decided that I couldn't go through with the marriage. But then I couldn't afford to get back into the condo or even the area where I had lived before. I highly do not recommend taking this path, but I'm willing to bet that I would not recommend marrying someone who makes you miserable even more. So, you know, thankful. Once I dug myself out of that hole, I remember wanting to understand why I was having such a hard time with relationships and life in general. So I did what I always do, and I went to the library. I started reading, and even more impactful, I started listening to a ton of new podcasts that focused on personal development. The first coach to have a huge impact on my thinking is a woman named Brooke Castillo. She has this incredibly successful training program and podcast called The Life Coach School with Brooke Castillo. If you're interested in dipping a toe into the waters of coaching, I'd highly recommend going back to the archives of her podcast, maybe somewhere in the first 100 episodes, and just binging on all the topics that interest you. The reason why I say to go back all the way to 2014 when she started is because she did such a great job of explaining the basics. So her episodes now are great, but just a little more complex. So you want to kind of get the basics under your belt before you get into the new stuff. If you're interested in my favorite episodes, feel free to reach out and I can give you a list. When I first discovered Brooke's podcast, she had right around 200 episodes. Within a handful of months, I'd listened to all of them, some of them twice. It profoundly changed the way I think. From Brooke, I learned that our circumstances, which are any observable facts that 100% of people would agree on, are always 100% neutral. So, your IVF cycle results in zero embryos? Neutral. Your dog dies? Neutral. You lose your job? Neutral. You're single in your 30s and you want to be a mom? Neutral. I know you want to tell me that I'm wrong, and so is she, but hear me out. These things only feel like they're not neutral because of what you're thinking about them. So let's try this out. Let's say that you've chosen to be a solo mom and you really want to use a known donor. You've managed to connect with a guy who seems perfect, and you've talked over the logistics, you've signed the agreement, and you're ready to go with your next cycle. But then at the last minute, the guy tells you that he got cold feet and he doesn't want to be your donor after all. How do you feel? What's the right way to feel? Is there just one response? No, because the circumstance of the dude pulling out, and yes, that pun was totally intended, that circumstance just is what it is. It becomes emotionally charged when you put a thought behind it. You might think, what an asshole. I trusted him and he let me down in the worst possible way. This is why I'm single. Men are terrible. Or you could think, oh my God, I'm never, ever going to find a donor and I'm going to miss the boat and never have a child and be an old maid alone with 50 cats. Or what's wrong with me that he doesn't want me to have his child? Does he think I'm going to screw it up? Maybe I am going to screw it up. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Or, thank goodness he changed his mind now and not after the fact. I want a known donor because I want my kid to be able to connect with him, and this guy is clearly not in a place to be that kind of donor. What a close call. Or, this is a huge disappointment, but I've gone through harder stuff and I'll figure it out. Back to the drawing board. I'll use this month to get healthier and take care of me, and then next month I'll start looking again. None of those is the right way to think. Honestly, most of us would go through a whole progression of those and other thoughts. The point is not always to choose the happy, shiny, positive thought. Sometimes we want to feel bad. Brooke says that we should acknowledge and expect that life is 50-50, so about half the time things will go our way, and the other half, they won't. There is no way around that. So the point is not to become Pollyanna and never have a negative thought again. The point is that the thoughts are choices and that we can train our brain to choose our thoughts. So when you feel any kind of way, positive or negative, it's because of what you're thinking. And you're always allowed to stop and ask yourself if you like your thought and your reasons for thinking it. So from Brooke Castillo, in a nutshell, I learned that circumstances are neutral, we can choose our thoughts create our feelings, which lead to our actions, and ultimately our results. I also learned a really valuable concept from her called the manual. This is basically the idea that we all walk around the world carrying this invisible instruction manual for people in our lives. We assume that our people have both read and actually care about and agree with our manuals. This manifests in innocent beliefs like, men should call back if they say they are going to, or my mom should want to take care of my kid, or people should use their turn signals when changing lanes. Whether or not these things are true is not the point. The point is that when you walk around believing a lot of shoulds, you are the one who suffers. Recognizing and laying down your manual doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. You 100% get to decide what you're willing to put up with, but what someone else does or says or believes is none of your business, and the more you believe it is, the more you will suffer. Adults get to do whatever they want to do, and how you feel is not determined by what they do, but by what you think about what they do. Mind-blowing, I tell you. There is so much more that I can't possibly explain in one episode that I've learned from Brooke. That's why her podcast has over 300 episodes, and I'll link it in the show notes, and you should definitely go and check it out yourself. Self-Coaching Scholars is Brooke's coaching program. It's all virtual, and it's done in a group. Each month has a theme, and she sends participants study materials and videos to watch, and then there are these group calls where participants volunteer to get coached live. There's a lot of value in hearing someone else get it coached on a topic you're also working on, because when it's someone else's story, you have enough distance from it to listen a little more objectively because your own emotions are not so tied up in it. As an entry point for coaching, a group program was great for me. Also, the program wasn't cheap, so I knew that if I joined, I was going to be committing to doing every bit of the homework and really being fully engaged. So it was a great opportunity to practice what Brooke calls having my own back, or showing up for myself. Self-Coaching Scholars served me for a season, and I learned and grew a ton. At the same time, I was also reading and listening to a handful of other coaches and teachers. One teacher who's made a big impact on me and my coaching is Byron Katie. She's not a coach, she's more of a philosopher or a teacher, but I would highly recommend checking out her work. She uses what she calls four questions and a turnaround. Whenever you have a thought that's causing suffering, you ask yourself these four questions. So let's say someone broke up with you and the thought that you're having is that he shouldn't have broken up with me. The four questions are, number one, is it true? He shouldn't have broken up with me. Well, yes, I can believe that it's true, but it obviously wasn't true for him because he did it. So is it true? I might still be feeling like, yes, it's true. He shouldn't have broken up with me. We were good together, and he was my last shot at finding a partner to have a family with. Question number two is, can you absolutely know that it's true? So obviously, Byron Katie knows that we're going to have a hard time letting go of our first thought that's creating the suffering. So she makes us ask it again. Can I absolutely know that it's true? Well, no, not really. Maybe I dodged a bullet. Maybe I'll meet someone who's an even better fit and be so glad that he broke up with me. I don't know if it's absolutely true that he shouldn't have broken up with me. It just feels like that right now. Question number three is, how do you react when you believe the thought, he shouldn't have broken up with me? Well, I feel sad, I cry, I'm angry, I don't get out of bed, I feel discouraged, I experience less joy from the things that normally bring me happiness. I feel hopeless, so not great. I don't experience much positive in my life when I believe the thought that he shouldn't have broken up with me. Question four, who would you be without the thought he shouldn't have broken up with me? I would be happier, more hopeful, less depressed. I would feel like it was possible that good things are ahead for me instead of feeling like I'm at a dead end. If I don't think the thought he shouldn't have broken up with me, I feel a whole lot better. So those are the four questions. Number one, is it true? Number two, can I absolutely know it's true? Number three, how do I react when I believe that it's true? And number four, who would I be without the thought? And then there's the turnaround. The turnaround is stating the opposite of the original thought. So you try on, he should have broken up with me. You don't necessarily have to believe this either. You're just trying it out. How would it feel to believe he should have broken up with me? That was the exact thing that should have happened? That everything is happening just as it should and that nothing is wrong with the circumstance that I'm in? Those four questions are also known as the work of Byron Katie. I'll link sources to Brooke Castillo and Byron Katie in the show notes. Learning how to take control of my thoughts was crucial, but there was a missing element. Sometimes even when you can identify a thought that is causing suffering, it's tough to change it when there are deep underlying emotions attached. One day, several years into this personal development journey, I was taking a walk and listening to a podcast, and I heard an interview with a coach I'd never heard of before. Her name is Christine Hassler. I was immediately intrigued with the way she brought spirituality and emotion into her coaching, in addition to the thought work that I was more familiar with. She was a guest on someone else's podcast, but I quickly found that she had a show of her own, and about half of the episodes are just these raw, unedited conversations where she's coaching a client through a topic of their choosing. I was totally hooked. Just like when I discovered Brooke Castillo's podcast, I binged all the content that Christine had put out, and then I joined her coaching program. I've had the opportunity to be coached by her several times, and I've always walked away profoundly changed. She's the one who helped me to untangle an old money story that was keeping me stuck financially. And within 3 months, I'd managed to meet a savings goal that I thought would take me a year to hit, if I could even get there at all. She's also the one who helped me to connect my love for the field of coaching with my desire to connect with and share stories of women in this community. I'm not sure that any of this, the podcast, my Instagram account, my coaching business, I don't know if any of it would exist without her helping me to put the pieces together. After a few months of being a student of Christine, I started to study under her as a future coach. I learned about her philosophy that there are four levels on which we can meet our coaching clients. They are mental, emotional, behavioral, and spiritual. Before going through her program, I was operating almost entirely on the mental level in terms of my self-coaching and the coaching I was receiving from others. That's the place where we identify the thoughts we're having and decide whether we like them or whether we want to practice new thoughts to create different feelings. I still love to work on my own thoughts and help other people identify and evaluate theirs, but I'd run into some areas that were so tender that I couldn't come at them with reason and thought. I talked a little bit about this in the bonus episode that I put out back in May called Processing Emotions. So there's the mental level, and then there's the emotional level. The emotional level is all about learning how to process the big feelings that come up, how to ride the wave of emotion all the way through and hold space and compassion for ourselves as we do. It's when I learned how to process on an emotional level, really putting those two sets of tools together, both the mental and the emotional, that things really, really began to shift for me. The next level is behavioral. This is looking at the patterns we've created in our lives and interrupting them when it's necessary. It's looking at your self-care habits and learning how to utilize your strengths to push your life in the direction you want it to go. This level can also get into identity and values. So, for example, it's much easier for me to keep up with this podcast when I think about how I value consistency and when I have the identity as a podcaster versus just thinking, well, maybe I'll try it and see how it goes. My identity as a podcaster and my value of showing up when I say I will means that I put this podcast out every week, even when it's hard or when I'm too busy or when I'm just not in the mood to pull it off. The last level is spiritual. This one is about feeling some sort of connection to the universe. It certainly doesn't have to imply religion of any kind or any particular set of beliefs. It's just the idea that we can believe in a larger narrative, that our lives and our stories have purpose and meaning, and that even when things are hard, they can still be good. It's looking at life as one big classroom and being open to your own personal spiritual curriculum. It's loosening up on all of the earthly things that we get so fixated on and being willing to ask, so what? So what if I never meet a partner or have a child or lose that last 10 pounds? What does it all really mean? Can I find purpose and meaning exactly where I am, even if nothing changes? Can I still want what I want with a lower level of attachment to the outcome? Damn, those are hard questions, but, you know, good to consider. So those are the four areas that were covered in my coach training: mental, emotional, behavioral, and spiritual. There were a number of factors that led me to want to do the training. I've always loved learning, and when something feels impactful and important to me, I go all in with learning everything I can about it. It's why I got certified as a yoga teacher, knowing that I'd never actually be likely to teach a class. I just wanted to know what the teachers knew. It's why I listen to more podcasts than I can count, and I sign up for seminars and classes, and I'm constantly looking for new ways to grow. I found this opportunity right around the start of COVID, so it really went hand in hand, the podcast and the training. I honestly wasn't sure what would come of it all, but I knew that it was important for me to learn these tools, and I also knew that I wanted to create this show as an avenue to connect with all of you and to share your stories as well as mine. So here we are, months later, and we've all been through it, right? What a weird time to be alive. The first episode of this show came out right around the time that we all started staying at home, and I remember trying to edit out the bits about COVID, thinking that maybe later on listeners wouldn't really remember what we were talking about, you know, those few little weeks where we went into lockdown. And I didn't want the podcast to seem too dated in case people listened in the future and had just no memory of this time. I just had absolutely no idea what was ahead for 2020. But in this time at home, I've really learned so much. Every episode was created while the guests were in their own version of stay-at-home orders, and every bit of my coach training was conducted online, usually from my back patio late in the evening, rather than the in-person coach training that I thought I might get when I first signed up. And I've had a lot of time to think about how these two things might be related, the coaching and the podcast. And so from there, the Single Greatest Choice Coaching was born. So for the past few months, I've been working with a handful of clients in two areas. The first package I offer is called Hitting Snooze, and it's for women who are single and worried about the biological clock. They haven't necessarily made a decision about how to address it, and they need some help sorting through the big questions about fertility preservation and dating and money and all the things. Then the second package I call Embracing Plan B, and it's for women who've chosen single motherhood, but it wasn't necessarily their first choice. Maybe they're struggling with grieving the loss of that fairy tale, or they're worried about what other people will think, or they're struggling with the idea of donor conception, and they just need some support in working through all of those feelings. As far as formatting, so far I've been experimenting with meeting with clients for 6 1-hour one-on-one sessions. Maybe later I'll explore the option of creating some coaching groups, but for now, I really love being able to connect one-on-one in order to focus on specific thoughts and feelings that a client may have. I said earlier that coaching is not therapy, which it's certainly not. So please know that I'm not a licensed mental health professional. It's best if clients have done some personal development work in the past and are generally mentally healthy and able to be flexible and open to creating new frameworks for their thoughts. I also said that coaching is not consulting. But with the Single Greatest Choice, our work does sometimes kind of err on the side of consulting if the client has specific questions about egg freezing or IUI versus IVF or sperm banks or something along those lines. Another thing I'm really good at is connecting people to resources. So I often suggest books, websites, podcasts, etc. to clients. I'm not sure that's a normal coaching practice, but it is part of mine. Because I want these relationships to be rich and meaningful, and I want to give them the time and attention they deserve, I only work with a very limited number of women at a time. Right now, I currently have one opening, and in about 3 weeks, I'll have a few more. So if you're interested, you can visit my website and click on the coaching link. Please know that I would love to work with you, especially if you're a podcast listener and you've been with me through these last few months. I feel like we're already friends. So if money is an issue and it's the only issue that would keep you from reaching out, please just let me know and we'll figure it out. My goal is to be here for you and to share the work that has been so meaningful to me in my own journey. I hope this podcast episode has been interesting and informative for you. Maybe you'll look into working with a coach yourself, whether it's me or someone else. Of course, I'd love to be the one to work with you, but even more so, I want you to find the right fit with a coach that's going to help you break through to the next level in whatever you're facing. I've had some awesome other coaches on the show, so if you didn't catch them, episode 7 is with Michelle, a fertility coach. In episode 12, you met Whitney, who coaches on health, wealth, and relationships. Episode 15 was with Callista, who coaches new moms, and episode 17 was with Shelley, who focuses on life and grief coaching. Most coaches do some sort of discovery call for interested clients, so you can kind of get to know them before you commit. And I think the most important factor is finding someone that you really connect with. So check out these women's episodes, peruse the coaching page on my website, and also feel free to reach out if there's a specific area you'd like coaching on, and I bet I could connect you with someone in my network. Coaching is such a game changer for self-care and mental well-being. I think of it as the ultimate investment in myself and my future, right up there next to fertility preservation. So thanks for letting me share my experience with you. Before we go, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's coming for the podcast. When I started out, I committed to doing 20 episodes before I took a break. And here we are at episode 18. So the good news is that the season will actually be 21 episodes. I've got two more interviews coming for you, and one is the episode I've been waiting for this whole time. I'm finally interviewing my beloved doctor, Dr. Natalie Crawford. So episodes 19 and 20 will be interviews, and then episode 21 will be the season one finale, where you'll hear updates from previous guests and some news from me on where I am in my own fertility journey. Stay tuned, friends. It's going to be fun. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I'm your host, Katie B. You can learn about me and this project on my website, singlegreatestchoice.com. That's also the place to go if you're interested in being a future podcast guest. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to rate and review in iTunes. That helps more women to find our show. Until next time, I'm sending you all my love and support as you go about making the choices that will create a life you love.